morning to everyone. Today we are going to learn about Goddess Tara, and there is a very popular praise to Goddess Tara, and there is 21 verses in that one. And this praise is explained as composed by a Buddha called Verochana. And the story of this praise is that long time ago, a very long time ago, at a particular time, there was this king. And those time is considered as very special time. And at that time, there is not many conflict and so on. So those were very good times. So at that time, there was this Buddha, and a particular Buddha. And then there was this king. He had lots of sons. Some say 100, some say 1,000 sons. Anyway... So all those sons are predicted as going to be Buddha in future and will help sentient beings. And then that king had a daughter also. So then the Buddha asked the daughter about her, and she said that you have predicted that all my brothers are going to be Buddha in the future. But she had a different approach. She had this resolution that she will remain in the world and help everyone until every sentient beings are liberated from their sufferings and causes. So she had this amazing compassion, and her compassion was not like a short time, but a very far-sighted and solid. So getting very impressed by her, the Buddha at that time is explained to have composed this praise to her straight away. So that is how it is passed down to us. Like our teacher would explain the background of this praise to the Tara. But Goddess Tara is in recent times in any monastery, Tibetan monastery, you go to, you are sure to find an image of Goddess Tara somewhere on the shrine. There would be a thangka, a statue of Tara, everywhere. And then there are many Buddhist institutes under the name of Tara, either in Tibetan or using the name directly, Goddess Tara. It's because of Goddess Tara's kindness and her swiftness, eagerness to help sentient beings whenever she is asked for help. So therefore, in Tibetan, Goddess Tara is known as Dolma. Dolma, Ma is like mother. Ma is in Tibetan, Ma is mother, and also in Hindi, but Dol is like liberating. So from whatever difficult condition people are in, whether it is sicknesses or whatever mental difficulties, Goddess Tara is known to help liberate them from their difficult situation. So therefore she is referred to as Dolma. And she is referred to as the mother because of the great compassion she possessed for all sentient beings. So therefore, this praise to 21 Tara is almost maybe so popularly chanted and recited every day. Most of the Tibetans actually would know this praise to 21 Taras in their memory. They would be saying it and they pray for Goddess Tara. And also in the monastery, like my monastery where I was monk for a long time, every morning we do what is called a Goddess Tara Puja. Goddess Tara Puja is basically, Goddess Tara is, in the puja what happens is, first beginning with the refuge practice, bodhicitta and so on, then goddess Tara is invoked through a ritual where there is a mantra, where there is meditation, and where there is mudra. So the goddess Tara is invoked together with her retinue, whatever it is, and then they are asked to get absorbed into the shrine that is already prepared there. And then the approach would be as if goddess Tara is really in there, and then we make offering to goddess Tara and make for supplication for the minimization of problem in the world, request for the prosperity, for good crops, for good health, happiness, and so on, for the dissemination of the Dharma, for the longevity of the gurus, and so on. So therefore, so this praise to Tara is then chanted also. Praise to Tara is chanted 2 times, 3 times, and 7 times, together with Goddess Tara's mantra. Now, Pedro has prepared this thing that we have, and there's one of these, this set of paper we have here. There's one, and then there is the little booklet with the images of Goddess Tara in there. There's 21 Taras in here also. Okay. There's a book here. Has anyone got? Everyone got one? Everyone got one? Yeah?
I've only just got the books.
Oh, okay. Okay,
well, you can have this one.
Not 3 books.
You don't have the text?
No. Nah.
Oh, you can have this then. Okay, huh?
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Okay, huh?
There's plenty of text on the back. The text itself is up there.
Oh, okay. Okay then, thank you.
Sorry.
Musical tones.
This is a different one. Yeah, that's
slightly different.
Yeah, yeah.
Slightly different, not much different.
Mm.
But this one, you can see, it's so nicely done. There's all the 21 forms of Tara in the book here. And also together with Goddess Tara's, each of Tara have its unique mantra. Because Tara is a Buddha of activity. So therefore, people request for certain activities, you know, such as longevity, like why Tara is known for enriching one's lifespan, one's merit, one's wisdom, no? So, but usually what happens is that you have to receive the initiations. Each Tara have initiations, so you have to receive the initiation to be able to do the sadhana, no? But since Pedro has prepared this so nicely, so I thought everyone can have it as a token of today's workshop, no? And then they can look at the Goddess Tara. It's very nicely put together, and have a bit of read. There is a praise to Tara also in there. So that's the one. So Goddess Tara is have many Tibetan masters say that Goddess Tara have appeared to many Tibetan masters. In Tibet, as well as one of the very famous Indian Pandita, Buddhist teacher who went to Tibet, is basically advised by Goddess Tara. And Atisha, he was is in the history. It says when Atisha was contemplating whether he should go to Tibet or not, because he was requested to come to teach Buddhism there, He was not so sure because Tibet is considered as a, like a rough country or something like that. So he was contemplating as he was circumambulating at the stupa in Bodh Gaya. Then it is said that Bodhisattva appeared to her and encouraged him, appeared to him and encouraged that he should go to Tibet. And Bodhisattva said that she will look after him. No need to like have any fear or anything like that. So therefore, Bodhisattva is seen as a very influential of Atisha's arriving in Tibet and bringing the Buddhism. As well as there are many, many stories, there is a whole huge book on Bodhisattva, on herself, and there are so many inspiring stories. So therefore, people are encouraged to say this because it's a special praise to Tara. So in this one there is the praise to Tara itself as well as the benefits of the saying of the praise to Tara. So today we are going to learn that. I have found I have a commentary here which I will have to go up and down a little bit. There is a, but it is a nice thing. So we will do that first. This in the text you can see there is the taking refuge and generating the altruistic intention. Whatever activity we do, whether it is doing meditation, whether it is receiving teaching, whether we are going to receive any mantra, the first and foremost important thing is to have a very good motivation. Because where the thing leads to is really dependent on the motivation with which you start. So therefore, it is important that when we receive teaching, that we have a motivation for the sake of all sentient beings, that one wishes to attain the supreme enlightened state, and thus one will be able to benefit each and every sentient beings. This kind of motivation is very important, and it is called the good at the beginning. So this is why we have always this taking refuge and generating the altruistic intention. Going for refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha is to indicate that our current situation, wherever we are in this worldly existence, our current situation, you know, is a situation where there is always some sort of problem, or some problem is going to happen, and so on. So therefore there is going for refuge in the right place, like a Buddha or the Dharma and the Sangha, going for refuge in them. So therefore when we are disturbed, when we are mentally a bit imbalanced, and when we think about Buddha in its essence is a very pure state of mind, so we go for refuge in that state, in that very state that is actually in us. So we reach out to that very fine and very pure state of mind that we can cultivate, and we go into that kind state of mind, of our own mind, and that's like practically going for refuge in Buddha, because it has to be in our own mind. It has to be in our mind that there is the Buddha. It is in our own mind that there is the Dharma or the kindness. When we are encountered with some problem, and we might have some problem in it, but as soon as we cultivate a positive thought, a very positive thought, a kindness, then we are actually going for refuge in Dharma, because the Dharma is in our own consciousness. So we basically awaken that object of refuge, and we go for refuge in that way. As well as when we have some problem or difficulty, we awaken the noble aspiration. You know, we wish to help other sentient beings, or we wish to do something good, and so on. The one who holds noble aspiration is known as Sangha. And that very noble aspiration actually can be findable in our own consciousness. So therefore, true refuge is going for refuge. In that way, in our own consciousness, we awaken that supreme state. We awaken that very precious Dharma. We awaken that very noble Sangha in our consciousness, in our mind. So therefore, we are not only protected from the miseries, but also we have a good guidance due to the dharma that we awaken in ourselves. So therefore, one can look at refuge in that way. Otherwise, one could be going for refuge to something out there, something external out there. The external out there is very limited, you know, in its help. So that is how it is. So even when we call for Goddess Tara to help, you know, when we call for Goddess Tara to help in a certain situation, you know, where Goddess Tara is known to assist and help in whichever way it is suited, because Goddess Tara, Green Tara, you can see the Green Tara, the manner with which Goddess Tara is sitting, is her right leg is stretching out, which is really coming towards you. Just a matter of calling Goddess Tara is really there. If you just call Goddess Tara is known to have come like that. So therefore it is the Goddess Tara's eagerness to come and help sentient beings. And that is Goddess Tara's pledge in the original way. And due to such pledge, Goddess Tara is known as swift. Swift for coming and rescuing people. So therefore we have the refuge practice at the beginning, and the refuge is until one is attaining enlightenment. So in the Buddhas, in the Dharma, in the Sangha, and then there is the generation of the altruistic intention. After that is the four immeasurables. The four immeasurables, the immeasurable is sentient beings. The number of sentient beings you cannot measure. Likewise, the happiness and the causes of happiness that you wish for all of them to have is not unlimited happiness, but you wish all sentient beings to have immeasurable happiness. And you wish all sentient beings to have immeasurable causes of happiness. And when you tune your mind in such a positive mental state, it is said the merit, the benefit is also immeasurable. So therefore there is the first one is the immeasurable loving kindness, where it says may all sentient beings have happiness and its causes. And the second one is the immeasurable of compassion, where you wish all sentients be free of suffering and its causes. As Beverly was mentioning yesterday, there is suffering. There is immeasurable amount of suffering. Every moving thing has got some sort of suffering happening. Every sentient beings. Human beings have suffering of birth, old age, sickness and dying. Suffering from separated from what they desire, such as their loved ones. And suffering from meeting with circumstances that they do not wish to meet. But they have no choice, and they go through sufferings and problems and difficulties, all sorts of suffering sentient beings have. So in this meditation, may all sentient beings be free of suffering and its causes. All sorts of suffering there are, whatever suffering that is there, you are tuning your mind in a state where you wish all sentient beings to be free of suffering and the causes of suffering that they so busily create. They want happiness, but they end up creating the very causes of unhappiness and suffering. So you wish them to be free from suffering and its causes. So this is the immeasurable compassion. And third one is the immeasurable of joyfulness. You basically wish all sentient beings to be in a state, which is blissful state, where there is no sorrow at all. Our normal happiness, whatever it is, like the happiness from eating a food, is a very temporary happiness. You know? It can last for maybe, at the most, maybe 4 hours, 5 hours, you know. But that happiness is very temporary happiness. It's just a suffering actually, but it appears as happiness to us. So therefore, here, like a bliss that does not have any sorrow at all, like a pure bliss, so sentient beings not be separated from such sorrowless bliss is your immeasurable joyfulness. And then the last one is immeasurable, that is immeasurable of equanimity, is may all sentient beings abide in equanimity. Usually our problem is we can't abide in equanimity. We are either too loving to someone or we are either too not liking to someone. If we can abide in equanimity, whereby we can see that each and every sentient beings are actually similar. Just as I wish happiness, the other person also wish to have happiness. Just as I do not want suffering, other person also do not want suffering. So we are all similar, like Pedro, Peter, whoever it is, everybody is similar. Whether it is someone who is Buddhist, Mahayana, Vajrayana, whatever it is, all sentient beings, even small insects, all are similar in that way. So therefore, one can abide in equanimity. If one can be in equanimity, then one is free of bias. You know, to this one is attached, and to those one has aversion. Due to this duality of existence that we have, so therefore there seem to be lots of suffering. So therefore the last one is the immeasurable of equanimity. So we will say this refuge and generating the altruistic intention as well as the four immeasurables slowly three times each. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddhas, in the Dharma and the Sangha. By the positive potential I create by practicing generosity in the far-reaching attitudes. May I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddhas, the Dharma and the Sangha. By the positive potential I create by practicing generosity and the other far-reaching attitudes, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. By the positive potential I create by practicing generosity and the other far-reaching attitudes, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and its causes. May all sentient beings be free of suffering and its causes. May all sentient beings not be separated from sorrowless bliss. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free of bias, attachment, and anger. May all sentient beings have happiness and its causes. May all sentient beings be free of suffering and its causes. May all sentient beings not be separated from sorrowless bliss. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free of bias, attachment, and anger. May all sentient beings have happiness and its causes. May all sentient beings be free of suffering and its causes. May all sentient beings not be separated from sorrowless bliss. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free of bias, attachment, and anger. So then now we will look at the homage to the 21 Taras. Om Asanjame Shadaparajam Agyame Ganam Gyamu Vanya Sosorani Shichuyuva Tisumjabi Yumla Chansano Namolhaya Gyanalu Dhanu Jenge Rupum Dhanami Gyanam Dhanavakum Gyanam Chisampa Tamche Gyanu Dage Chodando Sunji Yalan Jagadage Gyanavakum Yalanam Dhanam Dhanavakum Gyanam Chisampa Sangye sunlan dal doju barayge la dal nam che ben ge chini bin mo lan de ma gun lan zam tamay yum la cha za no mu dal du dal du re so dal 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 Before we begin the verse, there is Om, I prostrate to the noble, transcendent liberator. Yeah? Now Om, as you know, is a Sanskrit word. Om means, Om is a very profound sound, or profound letter. Om is considered as the supreme or the excellent. Yeah? And Om is created of three things, A, O and Ma, coming together, so it forms Om. So our current situation, we have our body, our speech and our mind. At the moment, we are what is called an ordinary person with afflictions and difficulties and so on. However, through our proper practices and meditation, and generation of kindness, accumulation of merit and wisdom and so on, our ordinary body transform into the body of the Buddha. Our ordinary speech transform into the very speech of the Buddha, and our ordinary mind transform into the very holy mind of the Buddha. When there is this three transformation happening, where one is Buddha basically, physically, verbally and mentally, so therefore that is the supreme state. Yeah? But in here, they put Om at the beginning. It symbolizes that how supreme or the great the praise itself is, or how supreme or the great Goddess Tara is. And I prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Noble here is Jitsunma in Tibetan. Om Jitsunma. Normally we say Jitsunma this, Jitsunma that. Yeah. Jitsunma is here in English translated as noble, yeah? Somebody who translates as noble lady or noble, because Jitsunma has a mother side to Goddess Tara. And Pama Dromala is to the liberator, one who liberates from the suffering of different kinds. And Pama is a transcendent. Transcendent is not just an ordinary liberator, but who is a liberator, because that liberator has lots of compassion and lots of wisdom and lots of ability to help sentient beings. So therefore, Om, I prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. In Tibetan, we start with Om Jetsun Ma Pama Droma La Cha Tsa Lo. Prostrate, Chalsalo in Tibetan, is Chalsawa, is usually associated as a physical thing. Normally when we say Chalsalo, it's like a people doing prostration. The prostration is like bringing one's hands like this at the heart level, or one can do prostration bowing down. And the prostration that is physical kind, and the mental prostration is a strong sense of devotion and respect to Goddess Tara, with faith to whoever it is. And then verbally also saying the good qualities of the Goddess Tara, such as praise to Goddess Tara. So in the commentary it says that Goddess Tara is the liberator of all sentient beings in the samsaric existence. Now you know samsara is translated as like a cyclic existence. Going through the similar procedure of difficulties of birth, difficulties of old age, difficulties of sickness, and then dying, then explained as being born again somewhere. So there is like a cyclical existence that is very hard to break. And so therefore there is like a korva, or samsara is just like going round and round, being born and then suffer again, and according to our own affliction that dominates our mind as well as our behavior of physical and verbal kind. Dolma, the liberating mother goddess Tara, is the liberator, one who liberates suffering sentient beings. And to that Dolma, the commentator, the one who writes commentary, he says, with strong sense of devotion, I bow down and pay my respect, and then I will try to explain the meaning of the homage to the goddess Tara as much as I can. So there is bowing down to goddess Tara, and then there is the promise to compose this commentary on the praise to the Tara. And then he makes this prayer that whatever the obstacles that are there in writing this commentary, may all of those obstacles be eliminated. So this tantric teaching here is explained as belonging to what is called the unsurpassable yoga tantra, or the highest level tantra. And in the highest level tantra, now tantra, I must explain, tantra is explained as a method to attain Buddhahood in this very lifetime by relying upon the tantric practices or Vajrayana practices, that one is basically able to attain enlightenment in this very lifetime. I am Rigzin because I think I am Rigzin. I am Rigzin because I am so used to the idea that I am Rigzin. I was not a Rigzin before, but then somebody gave me this name, Rigzin. When I was born, my father and mother took me to a Tibetan monk and they gave the name Rigzin. But my father and mother called me Rigzin again and again. And later, I seemed to get the idea that I am Rigzin. So I have decided and I have accepted that I am Rigzin. And so since then, I became Rigzin. No? So therefore, I am Rigzin. People say Rigzin, it's me, I respond. Likewise, all of you, your name, Bob, Peter, Maxine, whatever it is, our name is like something that is given to us, and then we have, with our own mind, have decided that we are this, and therefore we become this. Yeah? So, there is a way in Buddhism where you can practice yourself as an ordinary person, and you try to do things, that is ordinary things. Yeah? But then there is a way where you are introduced to the very Buddha nature that you have, where you are given an initiation and you are introduced to the very pure nature of the mind of yourself, and you are introduced through initiation or empowerment that you are actually a Buddha. So then there is this sadhanas that you do. The sadhanas usually is a method. In there you create the causes and conditions, whatever the causes and conditions are for a Buddha. And through that method, you generate yourself as a goddess Tara, for example. And then you function in that way, and you think of yourself as goddess Tara. You think of yourself as Buddha. If you think of yourself as a Buddha, then for a long time, then you will become Buddha. That's how we become Rigzin or Peter, because we think we are, and the people call us. Likewise, if we have a shift in our mind, that I am actually goddess Tara, for example. No, but it is not like a confused state where one thinks that I am Tara. It's not. There is a proper instructions how this, like Buddha for example, became Buddha because Buddha accumulated merit and wisdom. Likewise, in the sadhana or the text with the guidance of the teacher, you are introduced to a method to accumulate merit and wisdom. And after that, then by relying upon those causes and conditions, you tell yourself, your mind, that you awaken bodhicittas of two types, and then you transform into goddess Tara with such and such face and right hand, left hand, like this and so on. And then you function as a Buddha, you send rays of light, love, kindness to all sentient beings. You basically get engaged in the activity of the Buddha and then touch every sentient beings, transform their problems and so on. In your own mind you are doing it, and then you absorb into it later, then you dissolve yourself into what is called a pure state or the state of emptiness. And then when you finish your sadhana, you have a time period between your next session. At that time also, you still think of yourself as a Buddha, but without all the hand ornaments and substances. So therefore you act like a Buddha, you relate to people like a Buddha, you relate to others and so on. So therefore your whole being, when you are in session as well as post-session, and then in session, you are back in getting familiarized with the true nature of yourself. And that way, in one lifetime, they say you can become Buddha. Yeah? But there is lots of teachings on that, so I can only say a few things. In such practices, there are certain ideas introduced. Whatever form you see, you know, you are to see them as the form of the Buddha. Whatever sound you hear is the sound of the mantra or the teaching. Whatever conception you have, all of those are actually the very mind of the Buddha. So all of this, when put together like that in a good practice manner, under a good teacher, then one can attain enlightenment in this very lifetime. Many gurus have attained it, and many are actually doing all these practices. So therefore, whatever obstacles that are there to create, and whatever is the composer says, that all of them be eliminated. So Goddess Tara, there is a Goddess Tara initiation which you can receive from some eminent teacher, and you can ask for the sadhana. And then they will introduce you to the what are the right causes and conditions to transform yourself into Goddess Tara, like a green Tara or white Tara, there are red Tara and so on. So with all the proper instruction, if you are to practice, if you cannot become Buddha, you certainly will become someone who is much changed, very inspiring, filled with lots of kindness and compassion and so on. This is a proper approach of liberating yourself as well as others. Yeah? But then there are other instances, the blessing of Goddess Tara, where people are in trouble and then they have heard about Goddess Tara's kindness and so on, and they just think, oh, now I'm done. But they think about Goddess Tara, and all of a sudden something happened, and sometimes they are saved. You know? So there are many examples. So when you prepare yourself to become a Buddha at that time, and you have a path that is known as the Paramitayana, or the path that is known as the vehicle of perfection, which is the path of the Bodhisattvas. Of course, the Vajrayana is the path of Bodhisattvas also, but the official kind of Bodhisattva path is the sixth perfection. The perfection of generosity, perfection of morality, and so on. That can take like three countless eons. You know? So therefore, some people want to become Buddha very fast, and they want to benefit all sentient beings. Yeah? So for those people, those with sharp mental faculties, they are introduced to the highest level of teaching, such as the tantric teaching. So therefore, this commentary here, it says it belongs to the highest level of Anuttara Yoga Tantra. Now that very highest level of Anuttara Yoga Tantra have different branches. Yeah? And this commentary actually belongs to what is called Yogini Tantra, the Tantra of the Yoginis. Yeah? So there could be many Yoginis also in the Tantric teaching, since Goddess Tara is a female in embodiment. So it belongs to that. And the Yogini Tantra also have like six types. And this one belongs to what is called the King of the Horses. So that is how certain tantric teachings are named. Yeah? And this one is the Goddess Tara's Tantra. And in this homage, it is said that all the tantras are actually present here. So now there is the Goddess Tara is offered praise. Yeah? And in here, we will look at the actual praise itself, and then the benefits reciting this praise to Goddess Tara. Now the actual homage is paid to Goddess Tara, and in here the homage is paid for her Goddess Tara's swabhava sambhoga kaya, which is the enjoyment body. The enjoyment body, usually there is the manifestation body, there is the dharmakaya, which is the true body, and then there is the sambhoga kaya. Now sambhoga kaya or enjoyment body is usually the Buddha in their enjoyment form, which ordinary people cannot see. The bodhisattvas at high stages have access to the Buddhas in their enjoyment body. But because ordinary people cannot access Buddha in their enjoyment body, so therefore the Buddha have what is called a manifestation body. They deliberately manifest for ordinary sentient beings to be able to see them. So the Goddess Tara is praised here from the perspective of possessing the sambhoga kaya or enjoyment body, and then also praise to Goddess Tara as the dharmakaya, and then praise to Goddess Tara for her enlightened activities. Normally we have lots of actions. Our actions also help other people, but also our actions have caused difficulty to others as well as ourselves. When it is a bodhisattva or a Buddha, their activities only help. They never cause problem to other sentient beings because their mind is filled with lots of compassion and wisdom. So whatever they do, it is called a lila or enlightening activity. With their actions, they are able to benefit sentient beings because they are very special. They have created very special mental state and they have worked very hard for it. So therefore, they are blessed with their speech. You know, when they talk sometimes, just hearing their speech, you know, lifts people up. And they're touching and so on. So therefore the Goddess Tara is praised from the perspective of her enlightening activities. So therefore it is basically homage to Tara, homage to her from the perspective of her enjoyment body, which is known as Sambhoga Kaya, and then homage to Goddess Tara from the perspective of Dharma Kaya, which is the true body, which is the very true nature of the mind. And then praise to Goddess Tara for her enlightening activities. Now the first one, the homage to Goddess Tara from the perspective of her enjoyment body. The first verse, there is a brief history. The first verse have brief history of Goddess Tara. And enjoyment body paying homage includes history of Goddess Tara and praying to her, and then paying homage to her from the perspective of her appearances, as well as paying homage to her with ornaments and however she appears. Now the first one, which is homage to Goddess Tara based on her history, is homage to Tara swift and fearless, with eyes like a flash of lightning, lotus born in an ocean of tears, of Chandrasik, three worlds protector. So that is the first verse. In here, the homage is paid to Goddess Tara. Now, Tara actually means protector, or the one who liberates. So here, it says, Chazadroma Nyuma Pamo Chazalo, homage. Homage is at the beginning. Homage is mentioned, so therefore, to whom you are going to pay homage, is to the liberating mother. Now what is your liberating mother like? Liberating mother is like, the liberating mother possesses the great compassion. And through her great compassion, here great compassion means compassion that does not discriminate, a compassion that is like a mother's compassion to her only child. But mother's compassion is limited to only one person. But in here, the great compassion is referring to a similar compassion, but towards each and every suffering sentient beings. So therefore, my Goddess Tara that I pay for homage is someone whose mind is blessed with great compassion, and also swift, Tara swift, who is swift in her assistance or help to the sentient beings, and also who is fearless, is courageous being or fearless, is Goddess Tara. This Goddess Tara, due to her compassion and her swiftness, have the ability to protect from all kinds of fear. So therefore she is referred to as fearless or courageous. So Goddess Tara's Nutu Thokpa Mebe Chinle means Goddess Tara's enlightening activities, her ability or power to help sentient beings cannot be blocked, basically. Lots of power and ability. And then with eyes like a flash of lightning. This eyes is referring to the primordial wisdom. Kichi Chigla is in an instant, through the eyes of primordial wisdom, it's like a lightning. So therefore, Goddess Tara's mind is not slow. It's like a lightning, it's fast. So these two lines basically sums up it. All the praises that comes from the below, all the praises are put together here, because here Goddess Tara is presented as possessing the very wisdom through which she is able to see all phenomena as they are. And also therefore she is known as Dolma. And also she possesses the enlightening activity to liberate all sentient beings from the suffering of samsara. So therefore she has the enlightening activity also. So therefore Goddess Tara possesses the wisdom as well as the compassion and then the ability. So because of that she has enlightening activity. Wisdom itself is not enough. Knowing that somebody is suffering is a knowledge. But if you do not have compassion, you will do nothing about it. You might even rejoice in someone's suffering. But knowing that someone is suffering, at the same time, if you can have compassion, it is better. But still, compassion is not enough. You can know someone is suffering, you have compassion. But if you do not have the ability to help, you cannot help them. But in these two lines here, Goddess Tara is presented as not only have the wisdom, but also have the compassion, as well as the ability to help other sentient beings. So therefore, Goddess Tara is praised in that way. Now the rest two lines is looking into a historical background about So this Goddess Tara, who have such positive qualities, such as the great compassion, the wisdom and the ability and her enlightening activities, this Goddess Tara's history is explained here. There is Chenrezig. Chenrezig is the Buddha of compassion. Chenrezig is referred to as the world, the protector of the three worlds. And Chenrezig is known to be engaged in activities of helping sentient beings for a long time. And for a long time, and later Chenrezig thought, maybe now I have liberated a good amount of sentient beings from suffering. But when Chenrezig actually paid attention, the number of suffering sentient beings actually have increased. So Chenrezig felt a bit like a sad or feeling like a bit low, so he shed this tear. And from the tear, it is said the Goddess Tara issue out and to ask Chenrezig not to give up, and she will assist Chenrezig in helping sentient beings. So therefore it says, lotus born in an ocean of tears of Chenrezig, three worlds protector. So Chenrezig is referred to as three world protector. But from the tears of Chenrezig, from there, then Goddess Tara is issued out. So there is like a historical background is given to Goddess Tara in here. Now the second verse is paying homage to Goddess Tara. We are paying homage to Goddess Tara in here as in the form of peaceful. In the second verse, Goddess Tara is very peaceful, to a peaceful aspect. That peaceful aspect makes us think about three attributes of the peacefulness. The first one is the rays of light. Paying homage to Goddess Tara for the rays of light that emanate from her. So which is the second verse? Homage to you whose face is like 100 autumn moons gathered and blazes with the dazzling light of 1,000 constellations. So this goddess Tara is a very peaceful aspect, yeah? And peaceful aspect, so much so peaceful that there is rays of light. So this amazing rays of light, due to this one, then she is paid homage. And in here it says, "Dungke dawa kundu kangwate nya kangwa jada ni tsepaham." It is the moon, but moon at the autumn time. So maybe it is a very special autumn time moon. And this moon is fully waxed, and not just one, as if hundreds of them are put together. Yeah? When hundreds of them are put together, then whatever the brilliance or rays of light, equal to such rays of light, is the face of you, Mother Tara. Yeah? Such a beautiful face. And then, Karma Tonda Mambo Tsoba Namge Deta Uwam Tumar Kepe Rabdu Cheshe Chobe Vese Rabdu Bawe Kuche Mante. And then as if there is this moon, and then there is like thousands of stars, yeah? And a host of thousands of stars, and all of them are brilliantly shining. So similarly, your body is emitting such rays of light. Your body is white and clear, and the body that captivates the mind of suffering sentient beings. And you emit rays of light of white kind and assist them. To such goddess Tara, I pay homage. So therefore the second verse is, homage to you whose face is like 100 autumn moons gathered and blazes with the dazzling light of 1,000 constellations. Now then the next one is still paying homage to Goddess Tara for her peaceful attribute. This time paying homage to Goddess Tara with whatever the hand substances she has, as well as of her positive qualities. Which is the verse, homage to you, born from a gold-blue lotus, hands adorned with lotus flowers, essence of giving, effort and ethics, patience, concentration and wisdom. Yeah? So in here, obviously, it is mentioning about with whatever she is holding in her hand. Yeah? In here, chalza semu chunne keki peme chane number gema. So there is this a flower in the hand of Goddess Tara. So she is very peaceful. She is holding flower, not weapon of any kind. No? Holding the flower, and this flower is born of the water. Yeah? And this flower, its color is explained as blue. But the stem of the flower is of gold kind. Yeah? And such a flower that is adorned in your hands. And you, the goddess, with such a flower in your hands, your positive qualities are the quality of generosity, the quality of joyous effort or enthusiasm. Your quality is of perfect morality. Your quality of peace is referring to the wisdom. And you who is dwelling in the practice of patience as well as meditation, so you, Goddess Tara, who is in this very peaceful format, with the hand substances such as flowers like this, as well as you symbolizing having the six perfections as your positive qualities. So to you, such a goddess, to you, I pay homage. Homage to you, born from a gold-blue lotus, hands adorned with lotus flower, essence of giving, effort and ethics, patience, concentration and wisdom. In here, born from water, it's born from, this is it's referring to the actual flower is known as born from the water. They usually, they in poem or poetic, they use lotus, and the other name for lotus is waterborne, no? Waterborne, because little waters, but not everything that is born in water is called waterborne, like fish, you know, and so on. They are born in there, lily or flower lotus is known as lotus flower. And now the homage to Goddess Tara is still paying homage to her for her peaceful attribute. This time paying homage to her because she is even venerated by all the Buddhas as well as Bodhisattvas. So therefore is the verse. Homage to you who crown all Buddhas, whose action subdues without limit. Attain to every perfection, on you the Bodhisattvas rely. So Goddess Tara is paid homage, as if not only ordinary people, the Buddhas also pay homage. The Bodhisattvas also bow down and pay homage to you. That is their worth paying homage in a peaceful manner. It says, Chaza Tejin Shepe Sukto Tayin Number Jawa Jema Mali Paro Chimba Tobe Jawa Seki Shindu Tema. In here, Tejin Shepa Number Nan Seki Sukto. In here, Tejin Shepa is the Buddhas, known as Tathagata in Sanskrit. And in here, they particularly talk about Buddha Verochana. Yeah? And Buddha Verochana have mentioned about how immeasurable benefits and positive qualities that are there in Goddess Tara. Yeah? So therefore, of course, automatically paid homage. Yeah? Not only that, but also all the Bodhisattvas who have obtained the 10 perfections, the Bodhisattvas on the 10th Bhumis, all of them also, to you, to Goddess Tara, they bow down as well as they rely upon you and they make offerings to you. So therefore, this is paying homage to Goddess Tara from her peaceful attributes. So, just to remind you, it's okay if you cannot remember everything in detail. This praise to Goddess Tara has the actual praise as well as the benefits of reciting the prayer. But the actual praise itself has three main topics. Yeah? Goddess Tara is paid for homage for her Sambhogakaya or enjoyment body. And then the second topic is paid homage from the Dharmakaya perspective, and then the last one is paid homage from the perspective of her enlightening activities. These are the three main topics. But the first main topic, which is paying homage to her in the aspect of Sambhogakaya, has three parts to it. Has such thing as paying homage to her with her background historical, and then paying homage to her with her aspects of her body, and also paying homage to her with the ornaments and so on. So that one has the first verse, we paid homage to her with the background historical. The second one is her attribute, and then the third one is we are still in the second one, which is paying homage to her but in a peaceful aspect as well as wrathful aspect. The first one, the peaceful aspect, paying homage, has been covered. Now, the Goddess Tara, in a wrathful appearance. Now, why Goddess Tara have to be wrathful? Why Goddess Tara have to appear as very wrathful? It's because Goddess Tara is caring for all sentient beings. That will include even those beings who would not understand a peaceful manner of doing something. Know, some very wrathful people, wrathful spirits and so on, they cannot be tamed. So therefore the Goddess Tara manifesting in wrathful is only because of great compassion that Goddess Tara has. So therefore she manifests in a very wrathful manner. Yeah? That is what the idea is. So then, to pay homage to Goddess Tara from the perspective of wrathful appearances, there is the paying homage to her for her ability or for her power, as well as paying homage to Goddess Tara in the wrathful form, because even the very powerful people of worldly kind, even they also pay homage to Goddess Tara, as well as paying homage to Goddess Tara for her wrathful enlightening activities. So the first one is paying homage to her due to her power in a wrathful form, which is homage to you whose tutare and whom fill the realms of desire, form and space. You crush seven worlds beneath your feet, and have power to call all forces. So this is Goddess Tara appearing in a very, very wrathful form. Because sentient beings, certain sentient beings need very wrathful appearing, because their mind is so full of anger and they believe in power so much, you know? They can only be subdued by someone who is even more powerful than them. Yeah? So that it's not that the Buddhas don't have compassion. It's only because of they have lots of compassion and care for such elements of such characteristics. So therefore Buddha, due to them, they manifest even more wrathful than those people. And that way they can subdue them. And subduing them makes helping them to minimize their destructive activities. And then bring them to the path, and finally leading them to the state of enlightenment. So therefore we have the fifth verse here, which is paying homage to Goddess Tara when she manifests in a wrathful form, and also for her power, mainly for her power, paying homage for her wrathful appearances, power. Chāsā tūtā rā hūṅ yīgē, rādhā chōtā nāngā kāma, jīdhēn rūpa shabgī nēndē, rūpa mē lōgō bā rūmā. Her mantra, tūtāre and hum, the sound of the tūtāre and the sound of the hum, yeah? Very powerful sound of the tūtāre and the sound of the hum, yeah? Which fills, yeah? Due to her power filling this whole realm of desire, the desire realm, as well as the space is referring to the form and formless realm, as well as all the ten directions, yeah, is filled with the powerful sound of the mantra of tutare and hum. And what it does is filling this, and then she brings the seven world under her feet and presses down. Yeah. What it means is due to the blessing as well as the power of the mantra, even the powerful worldly spirits such as Shiva and so on, you know, are brought down and made to a status of like an assistant to Goddess Tara. So therefore if Goddess Tara is benefiting sentient beings, if Goddess Tara can have powerful people to assist her to help sentient beings, so therefore there is the enlightenment activity is increasing more. This is certainly in the cases in Tibet, for example, when Buddhism was coming to Tibet, and Tibet was a very known as like a barbaric country, very rough country, and they had lots of powerful local spirits who would not tolerate any new religion coming in. So there was this Kenjin Bodhisattva went to Tibet trying to assist the establishment of Buddhism there. But there's lots of obstacles caused by the local spirits. So on the request, they request Padmasambhava to come. And the Padmasambhava is a very powerful tantric practitioner, dedicated to tantric practitioner, very powerful. Of course, very compassionate. And Padmasambhava came. And then Padmasambhava subdued all the local spirits, the powerful spirits, and transformed them to be the Dharma supporter, Dharma protector. In that way, the Buddhism is known as established very well in Tibet by the blessing of Padmasambhava. And Padmasambhava's practice was like esoteric practices, whereby using the powerful mantra and so on, subdue the spirit and transforming them in a way that they are no more causing harm to anyone, but they are supporting the dharmic activities. So therefore in the monastery of Holiness, His Holiness Dalai Lama, there is a monastery in Dharamsala. In his own monastery, there is a big image of Padmasambhava, as well as Chenrezig, and there is the image of the Buddha Shakyamuni. No? So this is a way of thanking Padmasambhava for helping to establish Buddhism in Tibet. So therefore, when there is this wrathful activities are performed, and the bodhisattvas perform these wrathful activities, they might appear as very wrathful and so on, but out of great compassion, if they do not assist, do not resort to such means, then the evil beings continue to act in a very negative way and cause harm to others as well as themselves. Because when they cause harm to others, then they are actually creating lots of negativity which will get them to go through difficulty circumstances. So it's a far-sighted compassion yet appearing in the form like a very wrathful, like a parent sometimes to their child, you know. They yell at them or they shout at them. But that does not mean that the parents actually don't care about the child, no? So therefore there is this Godestara also at times can appear. There is a whole ritual of Godestara. There's a whole ritual of Godestara. It is called Drama Yuldu. And this Godestara ritual can take a few days, and they prepare like a loom. They make something very special, made out of string and so on. And finally, they burn it actually in the fire. But this is the only like wrathful ritual of Godestara I have noticed, you know, in Tibetan Buddhism. So therefore, this Godestara have these wrathful appearances. In this case, Godestara is praised in the verse 5, homage to you, whose tutare and whom. Now the mantra tutare and whom, it is like maybe tutare and whom, probably is like, you know, don't do it, you know, kind of thing we would say to our child, you know. So that kind of tutare and whom, like fill the realms of desire, form and space, here referring to all the three realms of samsara, you crush seven worlds beneath your feet now and have power to call all forces. So it is referring to basically subdue the powerful and worldly spirits. So if powerful it's due to the blessing as well as the mantra and your ability or power, if you can cause even Wang Chu Chenpo or the great Shiva and so on to be transformed as into a status of a slave or assistant, you know, then you don't need to mention about ordinary spirits. You can easily subdue and transform them. Yeah? So when we say here, it says seven worlds. Yeah, seven worlds here in the commentary, it says these seven worlds are the world of the world of the Nagas. Yeah, the world of the Naga is one. There is the world of, like these worlds, seven worlds are considered to be a world, very powerful world. The world of the Nagas, the world of the Pretas, and the world of the demigods, the world of human being, as well as the world of the Vidyadhara. And then there is a certain world known as non-human, and then there is the world of the God realm. So all of these are mentioned. Now the sixth verse is paying homage to Godestara. The sixth verse is paying homage to Godestara in her wrathful form, yeah? And because she is in a wrathful form, so therefore she is being homaged by powerful worldly beings. Yeah? So you are basically, oh, Godestara is amazing, like that, you know, because even the powerful worldly beings go and pay homage. Yeah? That is the meaning of the verse 6 in here. Homage to you, adored by Indra, Agni, Brahma, Vayu, and Ishvara. Praised in song by hosts of spirits, zombies, sand eaters, and yakshas. Yeah? So, in here it says, Chaza Jaji Mela Tsangba, Nula Naso, Wanchu Chema, Jambora Lan, Tisanam, Legend Sogi Dema. Chaza, I pay homage to you, Indra. In here mentioned is Indra. Indra is mentioned, and the king of the god realm. Yeah, so Indra also pay homage to you, and then Agni. Agni is the fire god, and this is known as the chief of all the rishis. And then Brahma is known in Hinduism as the creator of the world, even the Brahma. And then there is the Vayu. Vayu is the god of the air, it says. And it's known for the creating of the shape of the world. And then there is Ishvara, which is known as wrathful, as well as other powerful worldly beings. All of them, they are known to be very powerful in the world. Like Shiva is known to be very powerful. Shiva, they say, is full of anger, very powerful. He's so full of anger, he says that he has to stay in Mount Kailash to cool him down. No? He said, no. Full of anger, and only the Mount Kailash staying there, it helps to cool him down. So these powerful beings, you know, even all these powerful beings, you know, they worship to you. They make offerings to you. Yeah? And it's because Goddess Tara is very kind and compassionate, as well as manifest in that way. And then there is a host of spirits. Yeah? It's referring to such as other Hindu gods, you know, mentioned here, such as Ganapati, as well as zombies. Now, what is this zombie?
in our society, someone lost their heart.
The undead, yes.
Yeah, they lost their heart. They lost their
well, they're supposed
feeling
to be dead. They're supposed to have come back to life or something.
And is there any known sort of historical story of anyone?
Any
in
horror
movies. Yeah. Tibetan we call Ro Lang. Ro is a corpse, no dead body.
Yeah.
And it comes back.
Same.
In Tibet, some Tibetan people tell me, like, long time ago, there's this old man, he talks about all sorts of stories with zombies. He says he has even fought with them. No, Tibet is, I don't know, very harsh condition. He would say, and then he would even types of zombies. When you run from zombie, he say you have to run like, you know, zigzag, because they go just straight, you know. So also the thing, we certainly haven't seen anything, but in the praise, it mentions, you know. So whatever the powerful people, maybe they are very powerful. Even they, you know, pay homage or they respect you. As well as saint eaters is usually referring to beings who are maybe passed away, who are not yet born, who are in bardo state, and maybe in intermediate state. Certain beings just remain in bardo or intermediate state forever because of the heaviness of their negative karma. Usually they say the lifespan of bardo is only 49 days. But for some people who are very kind, very good and so on, they do not have to go in bardo. But then some who have been terrible and very bad, you know, there are people in the world history, you know, they go to bardo and they just remain in forever. They can't get back, they can't have the next life, they just get stuck. The heaviness of the karma. So certain people can be in that way. So if there are certain beings who are very powerful, no, it is saying that even they worship or pay homage to you, Goddess Tara. As well as yakshas. Yakshas are usually some beings who cause harm to others. When there is the ritual, when there is the puja to assist some people who passed away, in their it talks about bardo beings, you know, bardo people who remain in bardo state. So some beings don't have to go to bardo state. But usually the lifespan of bardo is 49 days, so therefore there is, in Tibetan there is a tradition of doing purification puja for 49 days. But then for some people, they say some beings can be in bardo state forever. So yakshas here, even yakshas pay homage. Yakshas here is referring to like Vaishravana as well as those who are the owner of the treasures. Maybe there are lots of treasures in the world, no? And there are certain people who have some power, or certain beings who have power over those treasures. Now the seventh verse to Goddess Tara, homage to Tara is now the seventh one is paying homage to Tara for her activities, yeah? Activities of wrathful kind. Yeah? Activities of wrathful kind is divided into two kinds. Yeah? The common wrathful activities and then the uncommon wrathful activities. Yeah? So the first one, the common wrathful activity, is in the sixth and seventh verse. Homage to you whose tray and pay destroy external wheels of magic, right leg drawn in and left extended, you blaze within a raging fire. So this is the very opposite sitting posture of Goddess Tara. Normal one is the left one is bent in, isn't it? The right stretched out. In here, right leg is drawn in and left extended. So that this probably is the peaceful sitting posture of Goddess Tara here, with the right bent in and the left stretched out. In this position is the right leg is drawn and the left extended, and you blaze within a raging fire. So here is Goddess Tara is presented in this situation as performing wrathful activity, but a wrathful activity of common kind. Chaza teje chadan pegi paro chugo rabdu joma. Yegum yonjang shabgi nende mepa chupa shindu barma. Chakchal, I pay homage to you who say threat and pet. Now threat is a mantra and pet is also a mantra. Usually these mantras are said in wrathful activities. So I pay homage to you who says threat and pet. And the mantras, such mantra you use, the mantra that is said by Ayatara, due to the power of such mantra, these mantras have the ability to perform various types of wrathful activities. Yeah? So wrathful activity is to subdue certain spirits, yeah? As well as maybe wrathful mantra has the ability to chase certain spirit from certain place, to go away and not cause harm and go to a particular place and don't show back. So there are wrathful activities of different kind. And this also in here it says, for the sake of other sentient beings, beings who are very difficult to subdue, no? In order to subdue or transform them, solely for the benefit of them, this powerful mantra is said. It should not be interpreted as a harmful action by Goddess Tara. With the mantra Tet and Pet, it is. So, with such a mantra like this, some specific mantra like this, what Goddess Tara is able to do is some people throw magic spell. Let's say black magic and so on. It's not very known in Australia, maybe there is. But in Southeast Asia, they talk a lot about black magic. In Malaysia, in Singapore, people are using lots of black magic and so on. When some black magic is casted, you know, some people are completely, really changed. You know? Some people have physical problem due to black magic caused by others. Yeah? And we know that Milarepa was a very good black magician when he wanted to take revenge for his uncle and his aunts, you know, he caused lots of problem. Yeah? So with Goddess Tara in here, with the mantra Treth and Phet, what she does is for the sake of other sentient beings, and in order to subdue those very difficult to subdue, using the mantra Treth and Phet. And through this, she's able to perform various types of wrathful activities. It is not a harmful action. By the power of such mantras, the harm caused by other people, whatever the power of the black magic, the spell is broken, and you appear in a very wrathful form. Your right leg bent in, and your left is stretched out, and in that way, you appear in the form of you are pressing down on those wrathful beings. And through that, not only that, you also able to dispel or pacify contagious diseases and terrible diseases. So wrathful and moved by this wrathful appearance, from your body, there is rays of light actually issuing out. These rays of light are huge. And with such appearance of wrathful, the Lord of the Yama, as well as other spirits who come to take life of people, cause harm, all of them run here and there, everywhere. Yeah? And in that way, you protect the wandering, suffering, sentient beings from harm. Now the Goddess Tara's activity continuing, the wrathful activity, but the uncommon activity is on the verse 8. Homage to you whose ture destroys the great fears, the mighty demons. With a wrathful frown on your lotus face, you slay all foes without exception. So, Chazature Chamne Debe Hungin Nambe Sabunima, Ramenda Radan Bija, Jinesuna Yoanima. Chazature Chamne Debe Hungin Nambe Sabunima, Ramen. Chazature Hunyagi, Chazature Jan Pigi Boro Chemo. Chazature Jibachemo, Dugi Bower Number Jama, Chugation, Tony Demse, Dawatan Jama Lusama. Verse 8 is Om Ture, reciting the mantra such as Om Ture, Om Ture, and so on. So in the book here, you would see many mantras, like the mantra on page number 7, the first mantra is for enriching lifespan. Like Om Tare Tutare Ture, Ayu is a lifespan, Jnana is a wisdom, and Pushtin Kuru is to increase. Om Tare Tutare, by your blessing, Goddess Tara, who is known as Tutare and Ture, by your blessing, may the lifespan, as well as the wisdom, as well as the merit can be punya, can be inserted, may all of them be enriched or increased. But then there is the wrathful mantra in here, the verse number 6, and the number 6, Jigden Sumle Nambar Gyanma, she who is completely victorious over the three worlds. Om Tare Tutare Ture Shatrun Utsataya Soha. Shatru is usually referring to the foes. So there is other Goddess Tara in here with the mantra who conquers others. Sarva Vidya Apara Varanaya Soha. So there are all these different mantras of wrathful kind. The mantra on page number 8, on the top one, she who conquers Maharas and enemies, says, Omtare tutare ture sarva mara shatrun maraya pesova. In here basically is like a very wrathful mantra. Is omtare tutare ture sarva is all. Mara is the one who kills other sentient beings. Yeah? Shatrun is who are like the foes of sentient beings. You know, maraya is to kill them. No? Pesoha. So there is a wrathful mantra like that. Yeah? When these wrathful mantras are mentioned, by the power of these wrathful mantras, yeah, even though from the very nature of peace and peacefulness, yeah, the nature is very peaceful and so on, but from that very nature of peacefulness, the goddess Tara manifests as a very fearful appearing. Yeah? So she manifests as very fearful. And then that goddess Tara, with the mantra as well as very fearful appearance, what it does is it defeats the courageous Maras or the leader of the troops of the Maras. And your face, even though it is like the lotus, yeah, but you possess wrathful wrinkles on them, you know, on the face. With that, those who cause harm to the doctrine or the teaching of the Buddha, as well as those who cause harm to big amount of sentient beings, no? As well as those who cause obstacle to those yogis or practitioners who are trying to attain enlightenment, certain spirits you cause harm to such a meditator, you know, with such an exposition of wrathful appearances, you defeat them, you kill them basically. And whatever the ill intention that they have, such as wanting to kill, sorry, not kill them, you are appearing in that wrathful form. Let these evil spirits to let go of their ill intention to kill other sentient beings, or wanting to the intention as well as the application to harm other sentient beings. All of these are prevented by your appearing in such a wrathful form, as well as mentioning wrathful mantras. Now, paying homage to Goddess Tara, this time here is paying homage to Goddess Tara with the ornaments as well as appearances. And to do this one, there is again a different level of peaceful appearances, as well as wrathful appearances. And the paying homage to Goddess Tara for possessing a very special, like a common crown, as well as Goddess Tara in the form of a wrathful one. The first one is Genda Chalugikon. And Genda Chalugikon is paying homage to Goddess Tara for her adornments as well as for her bearings. And that one have paying homage to her in a very peaceful format with ornaments and bearings, as well as paying homage to her in a wrathful appearance with ornaments and bearings. And then paying homage to her for possessing what is a special crown on her head, and then also then paying homage to her again with bearings of wrathful kind. The first one is paying homage to her in a peaceful manner with her hand substance as well as her crown. So this one is the verse Chaza Kuncho Sunzun Chaji. It's the verse 9, verse number 9. homage to you, beautifully adorned by the three jewels gesture at your heart. Your wheel shines in all directions with a whirling mass of light. Chaza kuncho sum sumbar cheba. Utpala flower. Yeah? Utpala is the flower. Yeah? Utpala. Utpala chaja is a particular mudra of Goddess Tara mentioned. And this is a. Goddess Tara have her hands like this, with the holding the Utpala flower, the stem of the Utpala flower, and there is three. Anyway, the Utpala flower also have a bud that is just opened, and then that is bound to open, and so on. So this basically symbolizes the triple gem, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Yeah? And this is known as the pledge mudra of Goddess Tara. Yeah? I bow down or pay homage to Goddess Tara, yeah, whose hand gesture is hand gesture symbolizes that she possesses the three excellent rarities, that is the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Yeah? And if the disciples also, if they form this gesture, yeah, hand gesture, it is said that the deities of the mantra will bless the disciples. Yeah? In the historical background, is that the Goddess Tara herself, in the past, having adorned such a gesture, have been received. Have received or have issued with such a gesture, have issued rays of light, and these rays of light filled the realms of in all the ten directions. So therefore what it means is even the disciple, if they are to form such gesture and invoke Goddess Tara, then from all the ten directions, yeah, with the rays of light, yeah, Goddess Tara will actually appear to the disciple. So therefore, that is the verse number 9. In a peaceful formant, in a peaceful appearance, with the hand gesture and the appearances. Now, the verse number 10. Verse number 10 is Chazar Abdu Gawajibe Ugen Vege Tengwa Pema Shebada Shetu Darayi Dunan Jinde Wandu Zema. Verse number 10 is the verse number 10 is paying homage to her for what she has as a crown. Homage to you, radiant and joyful, whose crown emits a garland of light. You, by the laughter of Dutare, conquer demons and lords of the world. It means a garland of light. Chaza rabdu gawa jibe ugen hege tema pema sheba rafshe tudarayi duna jide mondu zema. Okay, this is still paying homage to Goddess Tara. In a peaceful format appearance, but with the crown she possesses. Yeah? So this is what it is. In here it says that Goddess Tara has this form, yeah? Goddess Tara's form or the body, yeah? Which causes lots of joyfulness to the sentient beings. Yeah? And then it is also at the same time very beautiful, as well as very splendid. Yeah? And then on her crown, there is a jewel. Yeah? And from this jewel, rays of light issue out. And at the same time, there is rays of light issue out. There is the laughter of Goddess Tara, and the bigger laughter also. as well as joined with the mantra, the sound of the mantra, such as Om Tutare Ture Soha and so on. And with this mantra, the sound of this, what it does is the Maras who cause or who invades other worlds, you know, even those Maras are brought under your control. Yeah? And also other kind of world, all of them due to your power, other kind of world who causes harm, due to your power, you bring them into your power and then you lead them on the path of liberation as well as on the path to the enlightenment. So we have come to verse number 10. So maybe we have a break here.
May I just ask one little question?
Yeah.
Regarding number 9. Where it says your wheel shines. What's a wheel?
The wheel shines in all directions with a whirling mass of light. It says wheel choki kholo, the wheel of the direction. In here what it says is due to the rays of light issuing out from your body, these rays of light mix together and then issue out, and these rays of light then go to the 10 directions. That's all it says. Sometimes when they do some translation, so certain things happen like that.
In this one, in this version, it says with a gesture of this sublime and precious dream, adorned with a wheel striking all directions.
I suppose it does. Walk down east, west,
and then. Just unless the sublime the precious dream could be the, like the Buddha Dharma and so on. Adorned with a wheel, adorned with a wheel.
We've got that wheel that we walk underneath.
I think the wheel is symbolic, it's traditionally symbolic of power. So they have the wheels of Dharma.
The wheel of Dharma.
Early history, the kings had chariots.
Yeah.
They were a form of power.
Yeah.
The wheel also the wheel also symbolizes transformation or reaching to a destination. When the wheel of Dharma is turned, the wheel of Dharma. So when the wheel actually goes like that, it brings the person to its destination. No? So the Dharma wheel is usually to symbolize when the teaching of the Dharma is given. No, and when it is received and when it is followed, one is basically going to reach the supreme state of enlightenment or whatever the desired goal is. In here it is talking about, basically there is a mention of wheel, but it is a wheel mentioned as the wheel of the directions. And wheel of the directions is basically referring to all the 10 directions. Now, from the rays of light that goes to the 10 directions, it reaches and fills the 10 directions, and also it makes the 10 directions beautiful. It adorns it. with the rays of light coming out of Goddess Tara. Okay, so we have a break, otherwise we get lost between the peaceful and wrathful.